Today's StreamGlobe devotional is titled, Overcoming Lawlessness. Today's meditation was written by Pastor S.D. Abraham. We shall be taking our Bible reading from 1 John 3 verse 6. 1 John 3 verse 6 reads, No one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually, commits sin. No one who sins has either seen or known him. I have just read from the Amplified Bible. Dre realized that because of the robust fellowship he constantly had with the Holy Spirit, all his weaknesses and besetting sins were no longer an issue. But he realized that Satan did everything to get him out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He realized that the devil's most potent tool was guilt. But he knew better. He knew that even when his conscience tried to condemn him, the Holy Spirit was greater than his conscience and would never leave him. One big mistake many Christians make is that they think being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that should happen once in a while. Many Christians are victims of sins and spiritual weakness because they are hardly filled with the Spirit. They have no experience of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They do not realize that the Holy Spirit was sent to be their comforter, counselor, teacher, helper, etc. These are intimate functions that we enjoy only when we are in constant fellowship with Him. One thing you will understand when dealing with the Holy Spirit is His authority and government over you. You will know this intuitively, and you will discover that walking in close fellowship with Him removes the tendency of lawlessness in your heart. You can no longer do just anything or say anything. Your life becomes streamlined and narrowed to His will and government. This is what the narrow way really means. As you go into today, do not forget that Christ dwells in you by His Spirit, and you dwell in Christ by allowing His Word and will control you. This is the secret to a victorious winning life. Thank the Lord for the grace to have fellowship with Him. Our yearly Bible reading plan shall be taken from 1 Samuel 1-5. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next. 1 Samuel 1-5.
The Book of 1 Samuel. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her,
Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?
Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying,
Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.
As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her,
How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.
Not so, my lord,
Hannah replied.
I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.
Eli answered,
Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.
She said,
May your servant find favor in your eyes.
Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying,
Because I asked the Lord for him.
When Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband,
After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always.
Do what seems best to you.
Her husband Elkanah told her,
Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word.
So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him,
Pardon me, my lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord.
And he worshipped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said,
My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There's no one holy like the Lord. There's no one besides you. There's no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ashes. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priests that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was being boiled and would plunge the fork into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing,
"Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw."
If the person said to him,
"Let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want,"
the servant would answer,
"No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force."
This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying,
"May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord."
Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them,
"Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. If anyone sins against another human being, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them?"
His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him,
"This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to the family of your ancestor when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your ancestor out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your ancestors' family all the food offerings presented by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that the members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of the members of your family, so that no one in it will reach old age, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, no one in your family line will ever reach old age. Every one of you that I do not cut off from serving at my altar, I will spare only to destroy your sight and sap your strength, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to you. They will both die on the same day. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his family line and he will minister before my anointed one always. Then everyone left in your family line will come and bow down before him for a piece of silver and a loaf of bread and plead, appoint me to some priestly office so I can have food to eat.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered,
"Here I am."
And he ran to Eli and said,
"Here I am. You called me?"
But Eli said,
"I did not call. Go back and lie down."
So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called,
"Samuel."
And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said,
"Here I am. You called me?"
"My son,"
Eli said,
"I did not call. Go back and lie down."
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called,
"Samuel."
And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said,
"Here I am, you called me."
Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel,
"Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'"
So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times,
"Samuel, Samuel."
Then Samuel said,
"Speak, for your servant is listening."
And the Lord said to Samuel,
"See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering."
Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said,
"Samuel, my son."
Samuel answered,
"Here I am."
"What was it he said to you?"
Eli asked.
"Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you."
So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said,
"He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes."
The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel. And as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked,
"Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh, so that he may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies."
So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God.
When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked,
"What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?"
When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid.
"A god has come into the camp,"
they said.
"We're in trouble.
Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness."
"Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you'll be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight."
So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road watching, because his heart feared for the Ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and asked,
"What is the meaning of this uproar?"
The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes had failed so that he could not see. He told Eli,
"I've just come from the battle line. I fled from it this very day."
Eli asked,
"What happened, my son?"
The one who brought the news replied,
"Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured."
When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man, and he was heavy. He had led Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. When she heard the news that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, the women attending her said,
"Don't despair. You have given birth to a son."
But she did not respond or pay any attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying,
"The glory has departed from Israel."
Because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband, she said,
"The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured."
After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation on them and afflicted them with tumors. When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said,
The Ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy on us and on Dagon, our God."
So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them,
"What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?"
They answered,
"Have the Ark of the God of Israel moved to Gath."
So they moved the Ark of the God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing it into a great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. As the Ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out,
brought the Ark of the God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people.
So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said,
"Send the Ark of the God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people."
For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy on it. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, or give to this work, visit our website at streamglobe.org.